Mr. Hulk, are you here to present a number two?
I am.
Okay. Anytime you're ready.
I am here today with respect to file ZAA 17208, which is requesting the removal of a zoning agreement on our property for Tuxedo Business Park. And there has been a planner's report that has come forward that I have some issues with, and partially because I'm not quite sure which one to which recommendation he's recommending, and which one we should be speaking to. There are two recommendations that have come forward. One, he agrees that the recommendation should be withdrawn, and we agree with that one. The other recommendation is to withdraw it or to amend it, and we have been advised that that is technically not possible to do because that was not part of the application or part of the motion in terms of coming forward here. We've asked to simply remove it or not remove it. So I'm a little surprised that planner's reports, and perhaps Mr. Veach can speak towards that, dealing with the issues of master plans and director of planning approval.
Well, the recommended conditions of approval from the department that I believe are is where you folks landed is on page 13 and 14, right?
Yes.
So that's, there were some other recommendations earlier on here that, and then like the report kind of talks about them as you're going through the change. And then I could have sworn I saw a recommendation twice. Maybe I'm wrong. I read it twice, as a matter of fact. It talks about the background, the history of the current zoning agreement, and then conditions. Maybe that's what I was looking at.
By the community committee, I think.
Yeah, when you were going through the conditions, you were agreeing to some, not to others. So there were these things on page 11, conditions 3, 4, 5, 6, and back into here. These are the ones that they're requesting?
Those are the conditions that are existing and that the applicant would like removed. Starting on page...
No, my application was to have the entire...
Yeah, those are the conditions in the zoning agreement. The entire zoning agreement would be removed. These are the key conditions that...
We're inside that whole thing. And so you're reminding us that with these is what you're doing.
So I was explaining what the impact would be with removing these conditions on the site. Our recommended condition of approval is to remove the zoning agreement completely. Often, public service will include, I guess, a plan B in case we're providing advice to the community committee. And if the community committee wasn't comfortable in removing the entire zoning agreement, we provided advice on how a second sort of tact could be followed. Since then, I've been informed that we cannot add any new conditions to this zoning agreement because it wasn't advertised that way.
Without re-advertising.
Without re-advertising a whole new application. And we cannot change the wording of any condition without re-advertising. So my plan B recommendation is not legally, we're not legally able to do that.
Unless we re-advertise.
Yes. The other option would be you could remove a portion of the zoning agreement and keep a portion of it. That would still be allowed, is what I was told.
I'm curious about this. I think it's on page 12 here. The way that I've read this, I mean, I appreciate that Zach went through a whole bunch of stuff. It says, MMU district is intended to provide linked commercial and industrial activities that are supportive of industrial functions. does that mean, and then it goes on to say, and are compatible with surrounding industrial area use areas. It's hard when you're reading that what's linked? Does this mean on their site?
Yes, that's
is that the intent? Because it doesn't really say that.
That's the definition out of the zoning bylaw. Here it is here, where it defines MMU, which the Tuxedo Business Park is now zoned. It talks about the intent of MMU, and it's to provide linked commercial. And from the public administration perspective, that linked commercial means commercial and retail uses that are supportive of the businesses that are on the site. For example, a small office depot, you could say, would be linked to the business uses on the site, whereas Krevco Pools would not be linked to those supportive or linked to those other businesses on the site. You're allowed a mixed use, but there should be, you know, a compatibility and a supportive link.
So 35% don't need to be linked, but the rest you're saying?
35% is the maximum retail commercial you're allowed.
Okay, so that's what this is intended to say then.
Yes.
It doesn't. Because I read in here somewhere where, and I don't know whether it's an opinion or not, but it sounded like that this site was only given MMU, mixed use, because of the zoning agreement.
The report that went to the Standing Policy Committee when the zoning bylaw was being reviewed, in the report by Public Service, they said, Zach has requested this be MMU. We're comfortable with it because there is a zoning agreement on the property which limits potential commercial.
So what you're saying is it had this agreement not been in place, this land wouldn't have been zoned MM2 likely?
I don't know. It could have gone anyway. Yeah. Because council was very specific that Zach had to be in support of all the recommendations of the new zoning bylaw. And
this will be reviewed in March again. Mm-hmm. With the one-year review that's coming up in March.
The one-year review, I'm not sure what that's going to cover, but this was in the initial adoption. Zach had to be in support of what Public Service was recommending. And
one of the things that it's going to cover is existing R1L properties that currently have 35-foot setbacks are going to be protected so that any new houses built on RML lots, as an example, aren't going to be built at 25 feet. I can't believe you guys didn't catch that and give it to me, but I had to find that one out for myself.
No, but Mr. Falk can comment on that. What was written in here was the linked and supportive activity industrial to a maximum of 35%.
Mike, Scotch. How much of the site's left?
5 or 6 acres.
Okay. So, notwithstanding that. Well, big. So of the existing...
Right now, Councilor Clement, I have the capacity to meet all parking requirements, setback requirements, and the like. We have masked what's remaining on the site to a total of 60,000 square feet of commercial retail types of uses.
60,000 square feet?
Yes.
And that's about 6 acres?
And that's there's about 6 acres plus the parking, so there's probably 10 acres of total land area available.
What this says is that to do what you want to do would mean that 35 acres of the land could be dealt with in this fashion. So
no, that's not
total. 26.
26 acres in total. And we're bringing forward approximately 15 acres in total is the parcel of land. The balance of our 75-acre development is already zoned MMU and is capable of moving forward under the zoning bylaw the way it's written. We have this little sliver of land that is under a zoning agreement that we would like removed and allow the MMU zoning to stand. Mr. Veach wasn't at the table for the 3.5 years it took to hammer out a new zoning agreement. I was. And I can tell you that the concept of mixed-use development is something that has been atrociously slow in catching on here in Winnipeg, partially because we're told we didn't have the tools in the box, a mechanism, a place to put mixed-use development. We create those under MMU and CMU, the commercial mixed-use, and now we're asking very simply to allow that to stand and to allow that to function.
So of this 20, so you've got maybe 10 acres left to work with.
That's correct.
What would be the? It's a hard thing to ask and hard thing to answer, I guess. But the opportunity for changing another 15 acres from what it is today back into this kind of a use, given where all those buildings are. The only building that would make any sense would be the building that's currently on Kennison Boulevard, I'm guessing.
I'm having a hard time following your question.
Well, like right now, you've developed that more or less as an industrial site. Okay?
No, we've developed that as a modern master planned business park. That is according to the employment land use study that the city has spent several hundred thousand dollars to create, talks about this is the employment centers of the future. This is what Winnipeg needs to keep and attract smart young people so they'll stay and work here. And this is the type of center that employers want so they can attract those smart young people to work here.
So if you had this 10 acres that you were able to work with, what are the chances you're going to take 15 acres of the stuff you've already built and convert it?
Well, our commitment is to have that commercial area along the front because it makes the most sense that it should be at the entrance of your park, not at the back of your park. We have gone above and beyond any developer in this city in terms of our architecture, in terms of our land use, in terms of our tenancies, in terms of our landscaping. I think we're above reproach. I think the bylaw in itself under MMU stipulates several restrictions and limitations already in terms of what was acceptable to the planning department. There are development standards, landscaping standards, architectural standards, which we must comply to, which is the minimum that anyone must comply to, and we far exceed those on every occasion. I think this report comes forward with caution, beware of the sheep's the wolf in sheep's clothing, and quite frankly, I'm annoyed by it.
You're telling us you're married and you're happy and you're not a player.
Not a player. I'm too done. I'm in a night and I got left feet. Can't even dance.
James, I got some questions just in terms of the 35%. This might be a global issue more about 6,400. I was there kind of during the discussions of all, but how did they land on this 35% marker? And is this something that initial phase of it has been working, because it does seem somewhat restrictive in my opinion anyways with it. So how they came up with that 35%? I guess that was done through Zach, of course.
Yeah, 3 years of discussions. I wasn't at the table, so I don't. I'm sure it was a give and take with the zoning advisory committee and with public service on how they landed at 35%. Maybe it was based on models from other cities that typically 35% is reasonable.
Michael, just a question, like what are other cities doing right now? I know, do you agree with the 35% marker that they're putting out right now? Where do you guys?
The Zach actually came forward with a 50% recommendation, which was initially supported by the planning department, and at public hearings, it was deemed by Councillor Swandell that 35% was more appropriate. As well as the acreage was reduced from 50 acres to 35 acres. So, mixed use is not something new. This is an old, tried and true form of development, and in fact, it's being encouraged under new urbanism principles, in which we want to create places where people can walk to services and walk to work and walk closer to home and be more pedestrian friendly and less automobile dependent. And that's what these mixed use developments bring to the table. They bring an opportunity for our tenants to go forward and have a sandwich, to buy something, and close proximity to their workplace. No different than Portage in Maine. I mean, if you want to look back, this is so new and novel that, the Portage in Maine and the Underground Concourse, which is how old? Bill, you had hair then, I think, when that came into being.
And hair, did you, Bill?
Pardon me?
You didn't think you ever had hair, did you?
Hair? Hey, listen, even when I went through all this other crap, there were 22 good ones up there. That's why I didn't shave myself. Those tough ones are still up there.
You know, Portage and Maine might have a million square feet to 750,000 square feet vertical. We have 750,000 square feet horizontal. And why can't our people go and buy a sandwich? Why can't they get a sub or a donut or a coffee or do some banking or pick up their dry cleaning and have those sorts of service-oriented commercial uses on the property? And that was the whole intent behind the MMU and the whole spirit behind the MMU.
Let me ask you this.
Land, when this land was
made available, or
you had it, we had to put some zoning on it at the time.
We certainly
adjusted it and had an agreement. I know you had to bring a line from Dover Court for sanitary sewer, as I recall it. I don't recall you having to do anything. Shared in the cost of those lights at Rothwell, but I don't think so.
Oh, yes, we did.
Oh, you did.
Oh, yes, we did. And the turning lane.
And the turning lane. But now, if we did this, it gives you the opportunity for essentially full-blown commercial on part of your property.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
I disagree with you. It's not full-blown retail. It's not there was a drawing of parallel that it should be C4 to accommodate the big box development that may be coming on that site. This is an absolute scare tactic of the planning department, and I don't quite understand why they would make... Well, they're setting over hearings that I can do absolute full-blown retail. I cannot do full-blown retail. I have limited retail. There are use-specific standards that I must abide to. There are square footage limitations I must abide to. I can only have a 5,000-square-foot restaurant. I can only have a 10,000-square-foot square foot grocery store. I am allowed a single retail use of 40,000 square feet.
How big is the Wendy's at across the street?
Don't know. I would think maybe 5,000 square feet between the Wendy's and the Tim's.
So if a Wendy's 5,000 square feet over there went on your property, that could be 5,000 square feet. Why isn't it the same?
I don't follow why it's not the same.
Because it was in the... I don't know. It shouldn't be. Should be the same.
A 5,000 square foot Wendy's, if they wanted to go on Keniston on your property.
Yes.
Okay.
If they wanted to be 5,100 square feet, they would not be permitted. 5,100 square feet would not be permitted.
I understand that. But they could be 5,000.
Yes.
And I've been in that store. I don't know how big it is, but it wouldn't appear. I don't know if it's even that big, Mike. Maybe it is.
I think between the two stores, they're probably close to 5,000.
Tim Hortons and the Wendy's?
Yes.
It might be 5,000 combined. Exactly. And so if that was able to be built over on your property, notwithstanding it's only on a piece, that sounds to me like it's full-blown commercial, at least on that piece, wouldn't it?
Well, I, under the MMU, you're permitted to have commercial uses. It's a mix of commercial and manufacturing and office and research and development and different uses. I mean, you look around what our park is right now as an employment center. We have high-tech manufacturing. We have research and development. We have chartered accountants. We have engineers and scientists that are doing research and laboratory work. And all of these mix of uses that are going to go on the property. The whole concept behind MMU was to be able to have some commercial services that, albeit are limited commercial services, because they are controlled under the use-specific standards that limit the amount of size and scope and square footage and limitations under there. It's not full-blown. It's not C4. C4 is full-blown, knock yourselves out, big box, gap outlet, whatever you want to put up there.
No, I understand that. What I'm getting at is that what we're going to see is that 10 acres that can be used is going to be probably along Keniston. You've actually just said that.
It is. Okay. It's the subject property that we're talking about.
Exactly. So and I would guess that if 15 acres followed it or whatever it was allowable, if somebody
had a loose moment down the road and decided to change something, that the building closest to Keniston, the first building that was built, would be the one that would be transposed, either knocked down and changed to that, or changed where it stands. So, because it's the only other frontage that you have along there, really, that is usable.
You're suggesting we're going to take a perfectly good building that's full and occupied by a variety of different tenants?
I said if somebody had a loose moment. You know, you can always move tenants. You can always, I mean, things change over time. All I'm saying is that...
But I have a restriction under the zoning bylaw that the largest tenant I'd be able to put on there is 40,000 square feet, and I still have to meet all the parking requirements, which if you looked at the site, I can't do it. Physically cannot be done. They take building number one that currently occupies Landmark Feeds, Ag Growth Companies, ACS Photo Radar People, Montessori Preschool, Manitoba Chicken Producers. If I move all of those people out and get extremely mischievous and devious and start playing around with my science project...
All I was leading to was that I thought, you know, I mean, if you're going to be able to have a commercial establishment, you know...
But the zoning says I can have it.
Not if we take this off.
Yes, it does.
Why?
Right now, Bill...
If we agree with... condition to that all these things be withdrawn, then you can do this.
Bill, I can do it right now on 65 acres surrounding the 15-acre site.
How could you do that?
Because it's an MU.
On the back.
The back part.
Yeah. So you mean the zoning agreement's only on the front?
Yes.
Just like the image, yeah.
This picture right here. So I can put MMU right here. If I really want to go insane, I can do everything I want there, and I can do everything I want there, and
so
do everything I want
here. Then?
No, but I'm going to put an 80-foot pylon sign back here because it's M3. Huh. Big neon arrows. It'll be like that. I'll get that one from Vegas, you know, with a cowboy sitting his arm back.
Well,
forth.
I'm just trying to widen Keniston a little, and I thought that seeing as we were going to allow you to do this, we might be able to, you know, get 100 feet of it or something.
You already have 200 feet there. It's the widest right away in North America.
It's going to get wider.
It should. It needs to.
All right.
I'm prepared to deal with this one, actually.
Okay.
Oops, I'm opening up the wrong one here. The only reason I'm going to stop asking questions and move this along is I know some of you guys haven't voted yet. I know you want to get home and make popcorn so you can see who the new coalition will be.
You're supposed to vote early and vote often.
So. Oh, I've been there. They unfortunately recognized me on my side of the river. I'm going to move that the receipt of public representation be concluded.
All those in favor? Okay.
I'm going to recommend that the recommendation of the public service, I'm talking about, I got to go back and find it now, but I think it's on. I'm talking about the recommendation that's on page 13, that the be concurred in, and I'm talking about that it... the recommendation that it be withdrawn and that it go to the city solicitor. And I'd like you to know that by the way, fellas, that I tend to agree with where you were going here. And I understand what they want to do. But I also know some other things that I can't share. And to not do this in isolation of some of the things that I'm aware of, nothing to do with these people at all, wouldn't be very fair-minded knowing some of the things that I happen to know.
How do you sleep at night?
It's tough. So I'm going to move that, that it be concurred in.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Supporting reasons are
fairness in the commerce community, long term, and that the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
All those in favor?